You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Yes, welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
Here we go then. Kind of a normal episode, even though Henry isn't here. And we also have a very special guest joining us on the show as well, which I'm super excited for. It's going to be such a good proper soccer chat.
Yeah, we did promise last week that we'd be back in the studio. Obviously, we're not, but it's for a very good reason. We reached out to Jillian Sakovitz, who, of course, hosts MLS Season Pass's countdown show and the wrap-up show. She said, yeah, of course, I'd love to come on the MLS UK show. And we thought, well, we'll just dedicate the show to her. And we'll talk about MLS a little bit later on. But there's no point in me coming all the way to Derby for us then to go, here's an interview that we've already recorded. And now we're going to talk for 10 minutes. And now I've got to travel an hour and a half home. So it's very selfish, you know. But we will be back in the studio. We will be back next week. We promise. Maybe. So, Elliot, how's your week been? I'm going to say it straight away. Mine was brilliant, my weekend.
Do you know what? I think I can put a positive spin on mine.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are coming around to my way of thinking regarding Orlando City's management team. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Orlando later in the show. But I like how your positive is basically that everyone's thinking negatively now about Orlando.
I just think I was quite early last year. It was pre-US Open Cup. I was quite early when I said, it's so hot and cold. And I just think as a coach, Oscar's like, you know, he's got the credentials big time. But just sort of teases you with them and then whips them away again. And it's like, I just think, yeah, time is time. But I've noticed quite a few others now starting to come on board the train. But I like the guy. That's the sad thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is sad because he won your US Open Cup, of course. He won your first bit of silverware. He got to you to playoffs for the first time. But there's no sentiment in football, of course, as we found out with in the Premier League this weekend as well. Are you going to ask me about my weekend, Elliot?
No, unless you've got anything specific you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a trip to Wembley, saw Bolton Wanderers beat Plymouth 4-0 in the Papa John's EFL Trophy. The people in the US might not have a clue what I've just said there, but Stu Holden tweeted about it, so that was... that was nice. But yeah, nice trip to Wembley, 4-0. I've not had many of those with Bolton Wanderers, but yeah, it was nice. Nice little trip down to London. But what that meant was because I had to wake up very early on Sunday morning, it meant that I didn't get to watch much of the MLS action, if any. But it was nice to wake up on Sunday morning with Atlanta winning, Orlando losing, and then, of course, going and seeing Bolton win at Wembley. So for me, it was a fantastic weekend.
You've incriminated yourself there. First of all, I'd rather win the US Open Cup. Secondly, at home in our own stadium, by the way. And secondly, I, at 6 a.m. UK time, had the Australian Grand Prix to watch. And I managed to go right the way through. So there's no excuses. Absolutely no excuses.
Yeah, but I did have to drive 4 hours like that morning. I don't think you had to.
So did Lewis Hamilton.
From your living room. No, not having it. But yeah, it was a great weekend for me. And it was very exciting to then know that we're coming out the back of the weekend to this MLS UK show with the lovely Gillian Sakovitz on the show. We recorded this last week. We're going to play it for you in a moment. But Elliot, I mean, how lovely was she? It was so great to have her on.
Yeah, do you know, I think they've put together a fantastic team. And I was full of praise in the interview with Gillian for what Apple TV have done. Not because I had to, not because anyone's asked me to, not because I wanted to suck up. I think they've done a fantastic job. And I think, you know, Gillian herself, by the way, we'll say it now, rather than embarrass ourselves in the interview, I think she's fantastic as well. And I think she's progressed so well in the soccer sphere, especially while covering MLS. But just a real pleasure. She had time for us, or she made time for us when she was super busy. And I mean that. And we really appreciate that. And she's just soccer through and through. She loves it. You know, she's really good at her job, but she's very knowledgeable as well. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yes. So let's play it for you now. We're going to talk about MLS, what happened this weekend, and look ahead to next weekend's action in a moment. But first, let's play out what happened when myself and Elliot caught up with Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, MLS Countdown Show, and MLS Wrap-Up Show host, the lovely Gillian Sakovitz.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK Show.
We're delighted to say we're joined by host of MLS Season Passes, MLS Countdown and MLS Wrap-Up, a cat lover and also a fellow 7th of July birthday holder. Gillian Sakovitz is on the show.
And Ringo Starr's birthday too.
Yes, he's also Albert Rusnak of Seattle Sounders as well.
Oh, wow. Look at these names that are rolling through.
I know. I'm going to put myself at the bottom of that list.
No way. You know. Not you, Henry.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We know how busy your schedule is. You know, you're actually mid-recording, are you, you know, with Apple TV at the moment. Can you give us a feel of what your day is like? What have you done? What have you still got to do?
So it's funny. We're all figuring it out together. And something I've really loved is how committed everybody is. We get the good people from IMG. You know, I think their work is very well known in England, and we know the name here. And we just know they put on the really big events, right? And that's been great to have their expertise, and then to have Apple and what they bring. And then MLS, we know soccer, right? And we know the league. But it's been really nice to see it so unfragmented. It was so fragmented for so long with the regional sports networks and multiple national broadcast partners and 63 different start times last year, that it's been really nice to kind of bring that Apple way that's clean and concise, but also high quality to the product. And it's been a fantastic start. But we, you know, the studio shows will be on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and those are 12 to 14 hour days. And then forget that, the people behind the scenes are probably there 18, 20 hours. But everyone is only there because they want to be. And that's been really, really, really fun. You didn't sign up for this project because you wanted an easy paycheck. You signed up because you know what the potential is of MLS in the US, but in the world. And additionally, then in the day-to-day, it's what I love for myself is I've been around the league for so long that, yeah, I'm talent, but I find myself on calls and things that are not even discussions I ever thought I'd be having. But I like being this involved. And I was on a call last night at 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night. It's been a blast. And I like how you can make whatever you want out of it.
Well, Gillian, it's not going unrewarded, all of this work. I have to say, here in the UK, probably more than even people in the States and in Canada, we are in love with Season Pass. It has made our life a dream. I know we've posted on socials our setup on a Saturday night with all the games on, and it's just a dream from having to find what channel is showing it, how we're going to watch it. Everything's a dream right now for us. So thank you for all your hard work and everybody. We don't get paid to big up Season Pass, but we don't need to be. It's so good. It's changed the way that we consume MLS in such a positive way. So on behalf of everybody, probably in Europe, not just the UK, thank you so much.
Well, you know, Elliot, it's really sweet of you to say that, but it's a job I'm very, very lucky to have. So I appreciate that, but I'm lucky to have it. And thank you for watching, even though I know it's easier, it's in one place. Those hours are not easy. On the time difference that the UK is on. So thank you for staying up with us.
We saw Daryl DK moaning about not being able to watch Orlando because they're on at 1 a.m. and we were like, mate, wait till they play Portland. It's later than that.
Yeah, tell Daryl DK that if you guys do it, he can do it too.
Yes. I mean, he can do a lot of stuff a lot better than us, but no, that's the least he can do is stay up and watch Orlando at 4 a.m. Just a quick one. I'm just wondering, have you had any feedback yet from the league? Because it's gone so well. You know, there must be a lot of pressure on you guys for this to work.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure because MLS was really bold in being the first ones to do it. So we want it to go well. It would be amazing if one day the NFL or the NBA says, we saw what MLS was doing, because so often at just a 28-year-old league, the narrative is flipped, right? There's so many things that are so fantastic about those leagues and the way that and their popularity that we copy them. So if and when the time comes, and I think it's more of when the time comes, it's going to be really exciting. The pressure has been welcomed, though, I can tell you. Because the last few years, I think with everybody not knowing the direction of where soccer was going in the US, specifically MLS, it was a little bit foot off the gas because rightfully so, businesses didn't know if this was in their future. And now that it's the foot on the gas, it's on us. It really is.
Gillian, I've got to say as well, we got into, I got into MLS around 2015 and I dragged Henry in with me. I went over, watched a game and that was it. You'll know, you'll get that. I went to a game and I was like, yeah, this is...
Yeah, what game? What game did you go?
I went to Orlando v Toronto and it was at Camping World Stadium. And a couple of days later, they played at home again. Love that schedule. And they played New York City, saw Kaká score a penalty against like Frank Lampard. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is incredible. So we kind of have been consuming MLS from the same time that you've been working in it. We've seen a huge change, like obviously for the better, huge positive change. When you look back, what are the biggest things that you think, yeah, we really nailed that. We've come such a long way. What are the big headlines for you?
I would say quality of play, exciting moments that go worldwide, right? Whether it's, I hate to bring up old European men, but whether it's Gareth Bale dunking on somebody to tie up MLS Cup to send it to extra time, to send it to penalties, that LAFC MLS Cup was a quality game. And the fact that you're getting out of it, a team like the Philadelphia Union, whose pay grade is amongst the lowest in the league, but is made of guys that they've developed, which is like the European model, right? You know, you think of, I remember when I worked with Frank DeBoer at Atlanta United, like you think of Ajax, and to see that the Philadelphia Union built the team that way. And then LAFC built it with people like Gareth Bale, right? Who didn't even play a ton last year, but came on to do the types of things that he can do. So I think like those two sides of it, having the star power at times, but then also having the Brendan Aaronsons that go on from a place like Philadelphia has been really impressive for MLS. And then what I really love is when I'm abroad or when I'm in another country and somebody has watched a New York City FC game, right? Because they love Pirlo. Or the reverse. A young guy like a Weston McKennie has come to, at the time, Italy. And then that made them want to be like, where'd that guy come from? And then they like look up FC Dallas a little bit more. So for me, that's been it. That while we have had Gareth Bale come, sure, and people like that, we've also sent some really good soccer players into the stratosphere. And I'm really proud of that. And I didn't answer your question about the pressure and the feedback. There's been a lot of internal feedback, and it's just we all want to get better, right? And that has to be the message. But a really positive one was Bradley Carnell, the head coach of the Wonder expansion team, St. Louis City SC. And I logged on. I really like to make sure that I'm, even though I'm in the studio now, I don't want to be a pundit that hides in the studio. So I really try each week to get on a team call that the play-by-play and analyst are doing, just to be there, to be present, to, you know, say, sure. Now, granted, St. Louis City was an easy pick for me because I haven't said anything bad about them. It would have been a lot harder to get on like a Colorado Rapids call. But as soon as like my little Zoom face popped up, I just thought I'd sit in the back and listen. And he's like, I really love what you've been doing on the wrap up. And to even know he's watching the wrap up, because with MLS fragmented all over the place, nobody outside of people in the southeastern part of the United States knew what I said on an Atlanta United post game show. So that was a little bit of a reward to be like, all right, you are watching. But I was also like, Bradley, wait till you lose a game. You're saying that to me now. Wait, just wait.
That's incredible. I mean, and by the way, as two guys who have are only just in our 30s, we don't mind you talking about old European men, because we will be two old European men very soon.
In soccer years.
But that's incredible, the access that you get. And I think that's what we you know, tell people over here when we compare it to, say, the Premier League, is
so
that
different.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't get the access, you know, like for us, it would be like us having a chat with Gary Lineker right now. It just wouldn't happen. So, you know, the access that you get, you know, working on it must be incredible. I mean, you know, is that one of the most underrated things about working with MLS, is just how close everything is?
So I think that that is all about perception. Because I played soccer my whole life, but it was not really, if you wanted to pursue a career in sports, soccer was not it. Not in pre 2015, right? So I had my eye on it, but I worked at a news station in New York where we didn't even cover the Red Bulls. We didn't even cover New York City coming into the league. We covered the Knicks, the Rangers, the Mets, the Yankees, all of that. The New York Giants, the Jets, and access is normal. You can have Aaron Rodgers, who's making, I don't even know, $200 million a year. MLS players, some of them are making $200,000 a year. And my frustration when I came into the league, and something I have been really like kind of annoying about, is access. Because what is normal in the soccer world is so different for us, but what's normal in the United States is so different. So I'd say to myself, why is it easier for me to talk to Carmelo Anthony than it is, this is an exaggeration, but McNamara on New York City FC? Like, why is it easier for me to contact the Knicks and get their superstar than it is through New York City FC? Well, NYCFC is coming from the Man City model, right? And they think, oh, we're still easing up. So MLS has come a long way, and that's a lot of credit to these communications teams that have, it is a labor of love every week, because you get a Thiago Almada who's coming from Argentina where it is closed off. And then he's coming into Atlanta and they're saying, these are our expectations. And then they got to meet in the middle, right? So while I love that in England, we look like we get a ton of access, but that's something we're hammering away at all times. You know, I can think to the playoffs and covering the MLS Cup playoffs for ESPN. A team would win, and I won't say who, but their star player wouldn't do a post-game interview. So, ooh, my light just went off. Sorry, guys. So while that's, and that's their right, right? They say, oh, I did my media availability earlier. You would never get that. In the NFL, you win the Super Bowl and everybody's talking. You win the NFC Championship, everybody's talking, and they're happy to do so. So it's something we're chipping away at, but it still feels hard here, which is funny. But to your point about access, some players have really bought in. Oh, this stupid light. Some players have really bought in. One being like Wayne Rooney when he played at DC United. I was doing a national game, and I was like, "Oh, he's not going to come to availability," and he did. And he sat with me, and he told me one of the best stories I've ever gotten out of a player for like the way he saw the game. He told me the night before a game when he played, he visualized it like the way you would visualize a game before on Christmas Eve when you're visualizing like Santa coming into your house and like, oh, what's he going to bring? He'd ask the kit man, like, what are we wearing? What time is kick? Is it at the 30? Is it at the 37? Because he wanted to like visualize the night before kind of the walkout and everything that went into that. And that was great value. So you do get guys that buy into it.
And I think we echo that. I mean, we've been surprised at some of the people that have been really happy to come and chat to us on a podcast that they've probably never heard of on the other side of the world.
Taylor Twelman said he knew of us, but we don't think he did.
Yeah, we don't believe him.
You'd be surprised. That guy consumes a lot. He probably did.
To your point about the other sports in America, obviously I've visited a lot and I've seen that change that you're talking about, MLS being bottom of the pile and working its way up. I went to a sports bar to watch the MLS All-Star game, which we need to talk to you about, and they didn't even know what it was, how they could put it on 36 screens, and they were like, no idea. Obviously now that would be completely different. So it's been a huge, a huge journey, a huge improvement for the league. And mentioning All-Star, that's something that's on season pass. It's not your first rodeo with the All-Star game. What's that week like?
It's so fun. It is so fun because the players are light. We don't get to see them like that right in the middle of the season. It's always kind of fun to see the opposing side. Not really in Liga MX because there's so much crossover now with Liga MX and MLS, but it would be like back in the day now with Arsenal coming, trying to think like back in the day, you'd get some of these teams that would show up like a Juventus and they would be like half really mesmerized and half confused. Like, what is this? What is happening? Why am I here? What is this like Disney World moment in MLS, because all sports have it, right? And some people don't watch the NBA, but they'll watch like the NBA All-Star game or the slam dunk competition. And MLS has kind of captured that with the skills challenge. I had so much fun doing the skills challenge last year on the sidelines and then doing the sidelines for All-Star. It was really fun to grab a player like a Walker Zimmerman type or anybody and just grab them and like talk to them live in a little picture in picture about what they were seeing on the field. You don't get to do that and you shouldn't during a game, but to do it during All-Star, go sit on the bench and like live chat about whatever while we're all watching this game was fun. And then it's great that Arsenal's coming back.
So for any Arsenal fans that are watching this now and like you said, are probably confused by the whole thing, what can they expect? What is MLS All-Star? Because it is a very alien thing for us in the UK. It is a very US sports deal.
So the night before the All-Star game is the skills competition, and that is our slam dunk competition. And that will be half Arsenal, I think, I don't know this, but in the past, it's half Arsenal players, half MLS players, and they're doing trick shots, crossbar challenge. And that's just fun because while the guys kind of, I do feel like roll their eyes at it when they get there, then they get really competitive. And I remember in 2019 in Orlando, Wayne and Nani like were not messing around. And I think that their tone changed a little bit when they're like, all right, let's not mess. So tune in for that. And then the All-Star game will be the best, 18 players in MLS, and whoever comes from Arsenal, we hope you all come, and you guys going up against each other. And it's fun, right? Because guys know they're going in for 30 minutes, they're going in for 45 minutes. So then again, there gets to be that little extra pressure to like put on a bit of a show. And also, Arsenal, don't be scared if the broadcast like tries to mic you up. Say yes. We might try to put a microphone on you while you're playing soccer, especially the goalkeeper. So think about that. But I want to start a campaign. MLS doesn't know this, and I don't even know if they'll get mad at me for saying it. I've told my bosses. It's Wayne Rooney, right? And it could be Premier League top of the table winning Arsenal coming over here. Who knows the Premier League better than Wayne? I feel like Wayne should get back into like the skills competition. Like, I bet he could still do some good trick shots and teach the boys a few things. So I want to advocate the MLS home coach, which will be Wayne Rooney because he coaches DC United, always coaches the MLS All-Stars, but I want Wayne to get involved. So that's like my own little campaign that I've started.
Yes. Right, Gillian, I really want to ask about, you know, get your thoughts on what's been happening so far this season in MLS. But just a quick question before we move on to that. The probably the most question asked question we ever have on the show is from people going, if you were in the US, which stadium or which city would you most like to watch soccer in? Because we've both watched it in Orlando and that's it. So I think there's not many people better than yourself to give a definitive answer to this. What's your favorite city to watch MLS in?
Well, back you guys up, Hani Mukhtar, reigning league MVP and Golden Boot winner, told me he loves playing at Orlando. And that's not one you get a lot. It's good, but I wouldn't say it's in the upper tier. So you guys all keyed in on something very special. I think that purple intensity is it. For grandeur and like, holy moly, Mercedes-Benz Stadium where Atlanta United plays, 73,000 capacity, a rotating opening, closing roof, and like just insane concessions, everything. It's a $2 billion stadium. So that's like, whoa. Also a lot of like pyro fire when somebody scores. Joseph Martinez almost fell victim to that once. And then in terms of a very unique experience, I would say Providence Park, where the Portland Timbers play. It's right in downtown. You pull up to it and you think it's like a two-story building and it's really like a bowl. I think it used to be a baseball stadium. And just the way it traps sound, the Timbers army, the flags, the green and yellow smoke is fantastic. So those are my favorites. Others I'll throw on there are, but Providence Park, like no fancy concessions, no fancy bathroom. So that kind of thing. People now really like BMO Stadium where LAFC plays. And I think Allianz Field is underrated where Minnesota United plays. I think that has much more of like a European feel. The touch lines are very close. The seats are very vertical. Geodis Park is similar. And they're all kind of modeled after Red Bull Arena. And that's a really great soccer-specific stadium. It just needs some updating. But it is traditional.
Providence Park is definitely top of my list, but that leads us on, just before we let you go, to talk about this season. Portland, who play at Providence Park, we're still waiting to see if they're bouncing back from a difficult year last year, along with Seattle as well. Who's really stood out for you? I know St. Louis, obviously, that's an incredible story. Any left field teams that have maybe taken you by surprise so far?
So St. Louis, yes, for sure. Going up on now at 5 straight wins, they can really check off, I think, this weekend against Minnesota United at home. No disrespect to Minnesota United. That's one you could give a little bit of love to. They're unbeaten, despite the fact that Emmanuel Reynoso, their man in everything, is not there, still in Argentina. So credit to them. Who's disappointed me, I think, would be Austin and their start. You mentioned Portland. I think they're going to bounce back. I really do. But in terms of who's really impressed me, I'm happy that Cincinnati has lived up to what we thought they could. 3 straight years of the wooden spoon. And then last year, they make a decent playoff run. They have an exciting year with guys like Lucho Acosta, Brenner, Brandon Vasquez. And now they're sitting there. No disrespect to New England. They're top of the table right now in the East, but they don't super excite me. And then I think a really interesting one is going to be Thiago Almada in Atlanta. I don't care that you had 7 players on international duty. Who goes to Columbus and loses 6-1? That's ridiculous. After winning 5-1 the previous week against Portland. And we don't know what, you know, Thiago Almada, he is MLS right now, and that's fantastic. He could be there through the year. There were reports that they said that they want to keep him through the year, but he could be there through the summer. Atlanta United has a roster that should absolutely not be losing 6-1. So those are some teams that kind of stand out to me. Then if I kind of look at the West, Seattle, I'm not surprised by them. But after the year they had last year of winning CONCACAF Champions League, the first MLS team to ever do it, but then failing to make the playoffs for the first time in their history, you were hoping that all those pieces would be firing. And to watch like Jordan Morris, the guy scored 4 goals last weekend. So it's nice to see Seattle being Seattle, because I think that's good for MLS to have a little less parity and have some real powerhouses.
Yes, I would totally agree with that, Gillian. And really interesting to hear your thoughts on Atlanta. Don't be fooled by the fact that I've been to Orlando. I'm a big Atlanta fan. That's why I'm so excited that you've been on the show today. we really appreciate you joining us, Gillian. You know, I know you're busy, and thank you so much for taking time out on your lunch break as well to talk to myself and Elliot. If you want to hear more from Gillian, don't forget that she is the host of MLS Season Passes, MLS Countdown, and MLS Wrap-Up Shows. You can subscribe on Apple TV right now, and if you're not an Apple user, you can also do it on the website too. Gillian, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the season, enjoy All-Star, and hopefully we'll get to speak to you again very soon.
Yes, this was really fun. So thank you guys for making it fun. And let me know when you come for another game, and go see a game elsewhere than Orlando. No disrespect to Orlando, but you got to check some more stadia off.
Definitely.
We've got a list, don't worry. We're on it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
MLS UK show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
So there you have it. Wonderful. So enjoyable to chat to Gillian. You can see how much we enjoyed that. It's been a while since we've had a guest on the show as well. So super exciting to chat to her, get her perspective on everything, find out a little bit behind the scenes as well in what goes on in the very new world of Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Gillian Sakovic, thank you once again for joining us.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about MLS last weekend. Then, of course, Gillian covered it with Andrew Wiebe. I saw on social media they were laughing about the amount of makeup that Andrew Wiebe has on, which, I mean, to be honest, as most of you know, my wife Poppy is a makeup artist. And if I had to appear in front of all those people on Apple TV, I'd be plastering it on as well. So I don't blame Andrew Wiebe for that. But let's talk about this weekend's action then. Let's start off with St. Louis. The winning run's over. They lost 1-0 at home to Minnesota, but they're still top of the West. And let's treat it as a bit of a celebration for a great start.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said it before. It's always going to come to an end. You lose a game, it doesn't mean it's all over. It's not a disaster. They're still flying pretty high. The downfall, I think, for St. Louis here, if we really want to dig into the tactical side of things straight off the bat, and I'm sorry to jump straight in there, but tactically, I'll tell you exactly what went wrong for St. Louis here. The other team didn't pass the ball to them. It's the first game, it's not happened. And so it's all gone wrong. But in all seriousness, they had chances. They did have chances. It wasn't an awful it wasn't an awful performance from St. Louis at all. Minnesota are impressing me though, and I know Gillian touched on it as well, what a start they've made. But I actually, that's their third win away, I believe. I've got nothing in front of me. I think that's their third away win of the season. And that's massive at this point. It's so impressive.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, they've only scored 6 goals in 5 games, but they're still unbeaten. So, the MLS attitude of scoring as many goals as you can, obviously it's not happening in Minnesota, but they're winning games, they're drawing games, they're up to 4th in the West, they're still unbeaten. So yeah, they're doing it really well, and they're keeping it tight at the back as well. St. Louis have scored plenty of goals. Obviously, as you've said, it does help when they get past the ball from the opposition. And this week they didn't. But yeah, it was a big win. Many thought that St. Louis were going to continue the run, a home game, but it didn't happen. And Minnesota are probably showing the form that we expected from them maybe last season. I know they made playoffs, but they stuttered a bit last year. You know, they've been on this sort of little rise and he kind of stuttered a little bit, but having seen how they've started this year, it looks like they're going to continue that. And yeah, and I'm sure they'll be looking at a top four finish.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with both sides. What a start for both sides, to be fair. And definitely not two sides that you know, what were the odds at the start of the season for Minnesota and St. Louis to both be up there. Massively impressive, and I'm looking forward to seeing it continue.
Yes, well, a side who also are looking for their form to continue is Seattle. They went to LA Galaxy, won 2-1, a very impressive victory. But once again, it's not good at LA Galaxy. Boos at the final whistle. Let's talk about Seattle first of all, though. Jordan Morris scored again. Leo Chu set him up and then scored. They're getting a good partnership going, aren't they?
They are, and you have to feel almost for Jordan Morris. We've talked recently, even just last week, about players leaving MLS too soon. Jordan Morris, of course, had that move to Swansea and got injured. You kind of feel like at this point he deserves a second bite of the cherry in Europe, because the man has started the season on absolute flames. Ridiculous amount of goals already. If you haven't got him in your fantasy team, what are you doing? And I think for Seattle, that was a really, really big result. It doesn't matter that LA Galaxy haven't made a brilliant start. Going there is such an event. It's always a difficult game. It doesn't matter what LA Galaxy side, you know, you put out. There's history there. And Seattle really, really stamped their authority on the Western Conference with this win. I think regardless of what LA Galaxy have done so far this season, which has been poor, it is worrying, struggling with goals, 100% really struggling.
Yes, they are. Of course, Seattle followed up their win at SKC last week with this win. LA Galaxy, though, it's just not going right. Of course, they had issues in goal this week. Klinsmann played, but he hadn't trained all week. He'd got an injury to his finger. And I think for the second goal, Leo Chu's goal, it looked like, I don't know, it looked like that maybe had that in his mind. I don't think he stretched as much as he could. I mean, he went 2-0 down. He got a 2-1, but then just not enough at all for me with LA Galaxy, who still have some good players in the, you know, the team. And yeah, things aren't right. We've discussed it before, but I'm fascinated to know, LA Galaxy fans, if you're watching this, if you're listening on your podcast provider, get in the comments on YouTube, tweet us at MLS UK Show. What exactly is going wrong at your club and what can change? Is it just a case of getting, you know, one man out from the top, or is it a whole bunch of things? Let us know.
Yeah, interesting on the goalkeeper as well, isn't it? Because you have to feel like there was definitely scope for him to play and perform well in that game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have started. It doesn't matter. Even if you have no keepers available at all, there's an MLS pool for goalkeepers that you can draft in in an emergency. So I don't know if we're just clinging on to excuses. Surely you don't start a keeper if he's not going to be able to play in the game. That's mad.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I don't know how they feel with the, you know, the other goalkeepers in the squad at the moment. But, you know, you do think that, especially against Seattle, Seattle have proven that they are going to be having more shots than most. If they played Montreal, maybe you could understand, but they're not. They're playing Seattle and they're going to have a lot of shots and they're going to challenge the goalkeepers. So for him to be injured, you know, and it not work out, it doesn't seem a big surprise to me. But yeah, LA Galaxy struggle again. Let's have a look. We're not going to look at every game from the weekend, as we've done on this series of MLS UK Show. We're only looking at a few, and then we'll run through the scores later on. But a match that you watched, Elliot, was at New England Revolution. NE Revs have had a very good start. NYCFC have been okay. They've been, you know, I think a lot of people actually thought that they might struggle this year. They've done better than that. This ended 1-1. Right result in the end?
Yeah, definitely. It was a slow burner, if I'm honest. First half was a difficult watch. But I think one of the things that I noticed was a massive swing after the Carles Heal goal that put New England up. in the last half an hour of the game, you know, it was all NYCFC. The pressure was building and building and building. And I think Bruce Arena did the right thing. He brought Altidore on, I think, to try and give them a bit more of an outlet, something up top, to try and, you know, bring the swing of the game back in their favor. But it didn't work out, and it was the goal was so inevitable. Talis Magno scored. They've struggled a little bit. They've, you know, been trying to play him through the middle. He's clearly a winger. Yeah, they've created chances and not been putting them away. So for me, 1-1 was completely spot on. New England had a goal chalked off before Heal's goal, which it's exactly what happened at Atlanta in the Atlanta-Portland game. It's literally the same thing. Someone in front of the keeper. So one was disallowed, one wasn't. You make your mind up.
Yeah, there's yet again no consistency with VAR. NYCFC have started very well at home. Do you think that their success this season is going to be based on how they do away from home, whether they can pick up the odd win and a valuable point like they have this weekend?
Well, it's a tough. All jokes aside, it's a tough place to go. NYCFC, you know, they're always going to have a massive home advantage. If you win most of your home games, you know, you make the playoffs. It's simple as that. And then once you're in the playoffs, we know the format's changed this year, but all you need to do is make the playoffs and it's game on from there. So they already have a huge chance. But, you know, picking up points here and there away from home for them is what's going to push them more to the top of the East. And so far, they look a lot better than maybe we were giving them credit for. Not just us, everybody was giving them credit for at the start of the season.
Okay, so let's move on now to Toronto FC versus Charlotte. Toronto went 2 goals up thanks to a goal from a corner from Bernadeschi, which was brilliant. And then Charlotte came back in the second half to equalise. It's got to be 2 points dropped for Toronto, isn't it? You know, this is very disappointing for their fans.
I don't think it matters who you play. If you're 2-0 up, you know, if this was against LAFC, you've worked hard, you've gone 2-0 up, scored some, you know, I mean, the first goal was incredible, by the way, scoring from a corner. I think it's a disaster if you chuck that away and I was going to say lose 2-2, but that's what it will feel like. Especially against Charlotte, they're no offense, they're not good. They're not a good team. But that's another big away result for Charlotte. You know, they've already gone and got one at Orlando, and it's another big point there in the East as well. So fair play. And the goal, the Charlotte goal's lovely. So we saw some lovely team play from Charlotte as well. So we shouldn't discredit them just for the fact that they're down the bottom of the standings. That could change if they keep grinding out results like this.
Yeah, well, now they're unbeaten in 3 after a very poor start. Toronto unbeaten in 5, but they have drawn 4 of those. So, yeah, for both teams, it's just about converting to victories now. But you'd imagine Toronto should get up in the playoffs with the players they've got. Insigne's going to come back as well. However, yeah, they'll look at this weekend and be very disappointed. Right, Elliot, let's talk about Orlando then. They lost at home 2-0 to Nashville. Picot and Mukhtar with the goals. A decent start to the season for Orlando, but now you've not won in a few games at home. It's kind of starting to fall apart a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the same. There's been no progression from last year. You know, the home form was dreadful last year. Very few teams won less games than Orlando at home last year. I believe maybe DC, again, haven't got it in front of me. I think DC were one of the only teams and they obviously did not have a good season. So also more frustrating after you've just gone to Philly away and it ended a run of, like, you know, 2 years unbeaten for them at home. So ever so bizarre. I don't know what's going on. We just can't win at home, and it's not something you want to hear when you're the coach, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, it is funny how we're saying this after winning at Philadelphia last week, you know, despite the fact that, as we know, especially with the Atlanta result, any matches on an international weekend don't actually count. It shouldn't count to standings. But still, that was a very good win. And yeah, it's just a home form. You won your opening game against New York Red Bulls, and then since then haven't won a game. In fact, you've played most of your games at home. What can he do to turn this around? You know, you very much think that you should be having a change. What can he do? What can he do to get people on side and the team playing well at home again.
I don't know whether it's a mental thing, but I just think that roster on paper, it was good last year, and I said this coach should be getting more from that team. You know, we scraped the final playoff spot. This year they had what was widely regarded by everybody as the best off season. They put together such a good roster. Can't win a game at home. What's going on? You know, there is quite simply no excuse for it. That's it. You know, there's rosters, even Toronto, you know, okay, well, they've made moves, but their roster's still not as good as Orlando's. They've got good individual pieces, but Orlando's roster on paper is easily one of the best in the league. It doesn't matter about proven players or big names, or, you know, that roster should 100% be winning at least home games against Nashville, and it shouldn't be losing to Charlotte. There's no excuse for it, you know, and if you want him to stay because he won US Open Cup, well, how long do we dine out on that? You know, like you said before, you're bang on, there's no sentiment in football. It's a results business. You're being paid to win games. So I'm sorry, but that's the way it is, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Quite scathing from Elliot Holman there. Orlando fans, let us know what you think. Hit us up in the comments on YouTube or at MLS UK Show on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok as well. Or you can email us hello@mls.show. Right, before we just run through the rest of the results, I want to give a quick mention to Vancouver. 5-0 against Montreal. What a performance. What a win. Montreal went down to 10 men in the first half, but then Vancouver, just everything they touched seemed to turn to goals after that. Obviously, they're Canadian rivals, so that would be a great result for them. But Montreal remained bottom of the table. Apart from their win against Philly a few weeks ago, they've not even scored in any of the other games. It's really not started well under the new era, has it?
No, and I said, didn't I, we needed to wait to see what we're going to get from Montreal when they start getting some home games. What do they get? An away trip to Vancouver, their rivals, and thumped 5-0. Like, it's an excuse. Imagine conceding 5 goals, Henry. Imagine.
Yeah, I mean, 6, I understand, but 5, that makes no sense at all. Right, let's run through the other results then. I mean, speaking of scoring 6, Columbus followed that up with scoring 4. They beat RSL 4-0, which is brilliant for them. Top goal scorers in the league. Cincinnati 1, Miami 0, Philadelphia 0, SKC 0, Chicago 0, DC 0, Colorado 0, LAFC 0. You can understand why we're only talking about 5 of the matches for this week. Dallas 1, Portland 1, and then San Jose 2, Houston 1. Next week, when we're hopefully back in the studio, we'll go through the matches from this weekend again. And yeah, we'll discuss more on a few of the other teams on how they're doing so far this season. Right, well, let's move forward to this weekend then. We'll do our predictions. Elliot, you're still 1-0 up in the series because, I mean, this seems like ages ago now. It was the weekend that contained Charlotte versus Atlanta. We drew 25 points each. Of course, 10 points for correct score, 5 points for a correct outcome, and you won the first round. So still 1-0 to you. You're still winning. And if it's the rate that we're going at, it'll probably be a three-match series like the MLS playoffs. So you could potentially win by default.
I'll take that, to be honest. My mission is to be busy, too busy for you to come and visit at any point for the rest of the season. So I just take it out.
I know. I mean, what is it, July when your baby's due? Yeah. So, I mean, I've got to get some predictions in before then, because after that, it's you've got that excuse then. You've got that excuse of, I'm too busy. Sorry, too busy for you to come around. Oh, no, is that the baby crying? Oh, you no, can't come. Stoppage time episodes for the rest of the series. Before we do actually the predictions, just a shout out to everyone who's listened and viewed. I know this is a bit of a mismatched series of the MLS UK show, but yeah, we've had so much kind messages, and obviously you all seem to understand the reasons why we are quite busy in our personal lives. But of course, you know, with Elliot's news, it's we are trying our best. We are making an episode every week, and we will continue to do that. So Thank you so much. Right, let's do predictions and let's make sure that I can get back to winning ways and get it to 1-1. Obviously, all these matches are on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass. All these matches in the UK are on Sunday morning. Sorry if you can hear that in the background. It is Manchester. There's a car alarm going off. That is not, you know, not something that is a bit alien to us. That does happen a lot. Right, let's get cracking. Cincinnati versus Philadelphia, Elliot.
Philly playing a bit of CCL. I'm going to go 1-1.
Ooh, I think 2-0 Cincinnati. DC versus Columbus.
You can't back DC in this, can you? Sorry, DC. I'm going to say 2-1 Columbus.
I think their goal scoring form continues. They scored 6, then they scored 4. I think they're going to half it again and score. Well, they didn't half it the first time, sorry. But they're gonna get 3, actually. They're going to get 3 this time. I think it'll be 3-1 Columbus.
Okay. LAFC versus Austin. Not been the season for Austin so far. I think LAFC 3-0 winners.
Yeah, I think this will be quite a close game, actually. I think Austin will turn up, but I don't think they'll win. I think it'll be 3-2 to LAFC.
Miami against Dallas. This is hard to call. So I default to home advantage and go 2-1 Miami.
Yeah, I think Miami as well at home, 2-0.
New England put in a good performance this weekend against a tough NYCFC side. Montreal, probably easier visitors. I could be massively wrong. We'll see. I think they win this 3-1.
4-0, New England Revolution.
New York Red Bulls taking on San Jose. Again, I go home advantage. Jillian loves that Soccer Specific Stadium in New Jersey. I'm going to say 2-0 New York Red Bulls.
3-0 New York Red Bulls.
NYCFC back at the baseball ground taking on Atlanta. Come on, NYCFC. I think this is going to be 2-2.
We're picking the same outcomes. I think a draw as well, but no, actually, go on then. I'll be different to you. I'll say New York City FC will win. I think it'll be 2-1.
Ooh. Minnesota, who we've been praising, travel to Chicago. I am going to back Minnesota on a narrow 1-0 win. Risky.
I think Chicago, actually. I think it'd be 2-1.
Okay. LA Galaxy, troubled start to the season, to say the least. They are traveling to Houston Dynamo. And take your pick here, really, isn't it? 0-0.
I don't want to do a 0-0. We had too many 0-0s last week, but that is a... I'll go 1-1.
Okay. SKC are at home to Colorado. SKC win this 2-0.
Yeah, SKC gone back to not conceding again after last weekend in Seattle. I think they win 1-0. Go on.
Okay, Nashville back at home after a win at Exploria Stadium. They take on Toronto. I think low scoring again. I'm going to go 1-0 Nashville.
You know what, just for something different, I'll go high scoring. I'll go 3-2 to Nashville.
RSL welcome Charlotte. This for me is 2-1 RSL.
Yeah, I think RSL will win 2. I think 1-0.
One of the games of the weekend for me, Seattle up against St. Louis. This is a real test for St. Louis. Can they bounce back? Difficult place to go. I think Seattle, unfortunately, I think Seattle run riot here. I don't really know why. I'm going to go 3-1.
Yeah, I think, top two in the West, but I think Seattle will win. They're so dominant. They're so dominant at home as well. St. Louis have had a great start. I do suspect it might even it out now after that great start. I know we've got a lot of St. Louis fans listening to the podcast, so apologies to them. But yeah, I've got to agree. I think Seattle, I think it's 3-1 they win.
He's trying to be a fan favourite, isn't he? Vancouver at home to Portland. Cascadia Cup. I think this finishes 1-1.
I think 1-0 Vancouver.
Okay. There you have it. Then we're back into more US Open Cup after that, unless you want to start making predictions on Forward Madison FC, who have great kits. I think we'll leave it there.
Right, that's it from us. We may be back in the studio next week. We may be back on Zoom, but hopefully this episode has worked well. Remember, if you have liked it and you want to rate us on your podcast provider, then there's one rule and one rule only.
5 stars, LA Galaxy style. Remember when they were good?
And with the start of the season, yeah, that they've made, that'll probably stay five stars LA Galaxy style for another 12 months at least. Obviously on YouTube as well, we've hit 1,000 subscribers if you saw us on our Twitter. So thank you so much for everyone. We shouted it out last week asking, can just anyone else subscribe to us? We've passed 1,000 now. We released our first YouTube short video as well, which got 1,000 views. So that was nice. So thank you very much for supporting us on there. If you haven't subscribed yet, more people watch the videos than subscribe, I think, anyway, looking at the stats. So please subscribe, click your notification bell, and like this video as well. We'd really appreciate that. But for now, that's all. So I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman. We will see you back for a full episode soon. I'm going to drag him over here. It's fine. It's all fine.
See ya.
Podcast Network. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.